Well, good morning, New Hope Church. It's so great to be with you here, right here on our main campus, to gather, to see you face to face, and just to be present with you. And for those of you who are joining us from far and wide online, it's great to connect with you as well. We are really delighted that of all the things and places you could be right now, you're right here with us as we worship this Jesus who is worthy of our worship and praise, is he not? He is worthy, and we want to give him great glory and honor. And I trust that this morning has found you enjoying that and celebrating him already. I'm so thankful to be here with you. My name is Matthew, and I'm one of the pastors here. And I've got a question for you that I want you to really lean into here. It's a question that I think is it's one of those questions that's a defining life question. And here it is. Let me put it this way. What are for you your deepest longings in life? What are your deepest longings in life? Now, I want you to sit there for a moment and just think through that. What are your deepest longings in life? Might these be for material comfort? That would be for a number of us, perhaps. Might these longings be for good health? That's always a good thing. Might these be for meaningful work, meaningful vocation, a job that is fulfilling? Might these be for true love? True love. The renowned writer Anton Chekhov, he speaks into this. Here's what he has to say. He says, "I long to embrace, to include in my own short life, all that is accessible to man. I long to speak, to read, to wield a hammer in a great factory, to keep watch at sea, to plow. I want to be walking along the Nevsky Prospect or in the open fields or on the sea, wherever my imagination ranges." Canadian author Anthony Dessau also speaks about longing. Here's what he has to say. The Portuguese call it saudade, a longing for something so indefinite as to be indefinable. Love affairs, miseries in life, the way things were, people already dead, those who are left, and the ocean that tossed them on the shores of a different land. All things born of the soul that can only be felt. Longings are really powerful things. Longings are powerful. Longings speak to this deep, persistent craving. Synonyms include words like wish, yearning, hunger. And we all have longings. We all have deep, visceral desires, goals. From the high school junior longing to achieve her dream of being a surgeon, to the middle-aged man longing to hold a grandchild, to the wife desperately hoping that her husband's dementia will be very slow in progressing, to the refugee desperate for a safe and quiet community. We all long for something, and longings can be very powerful. Now, may I ask you some other questions? And these are kind of hard, but I want us to sit here honestly. What if Your deepest longings are never realized. What if they're never actually fulfilled? Moreover, and I want you to think about this, what if a longing is realized, but then circumstances take it away, and now it's lost to you? Now, maybe that is a dream that's been dashed. Someone we love that has passed. A relationship that is broken. Health or economics that have collapsed. Many of us understand the pain of that kind of loss. But allow me, if you would, to press in still further and maybe a bit harder. And now I'm speaking specifically to those of us who claim to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're right here in front of me in this room, or maybe you're sitting in your living room at home, here's the question for you. If today everything were taken from you, and I'm pausing on purpose here so you can absorb that. If today everything were taken from you, could you still be satisfied with Jesus? Now let's just let that sit for a minute. Let's let that question just breathe for a minute. Now these weeks we are listening to Jesus as he offers some descriptions about himself. Sewn into the fabric of the Gospel of John in our New Testament are seven so-called I am statements that Jesus makes. These are extremely important and have been throughout the whole whoop and wharf of Christianity. Last weekend, Easter weekend, we heard Jesus exclaim, "I am the resurrection and the life." Today, we hear Jesus declare, "I am the bread of life." Now, this in itself is a powerful statement. It's not like some sweet morsel, hot cross buns with butter, as good as that is. This statement of Jesus is life and death. Truly, truly, it challenges us to reckon with the greatest aspirations of our individual and collective existence. What are the things that we long for, and what do we allow to completely satisfy us? It is the solution to Chekhov's concern about having his imaginations as they range fulfilled. Or for what Dessau says about this thing that is felt within the soul. Jesus is the solution to this, and those words suggest as much. And therefore, we must pay attention to them. And in fact, that's why we are in this series right now. Now, the history goes like this. On a certain day, countless thousands of boys and girls, women and men, were fed by our Lord from a lone boy's meager lunch of fish and bread. This was a monstrous miracle. Situated within that vast plain on the northeastern shores of the Sea of Galilee. So fantastic was this miracle, the feeding of the thousands, that all four gospel historians, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, record this miracle. The only other miracle that all four record is the resurrection itself, of which we spent time talking last weekend. The crowds were exhilarated. But you know what else they were? Unappreciative. They wanted more. They wanted more food. They wanted more of the spectacular. And so within a day or two of this great feeding of the thousands, they hunt Jesus down and corner him in a synagogue in the town of Capernaum on the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. And they press Jesus about what else he might do for them. Specifically, what food might he give them beyond even fish and bread? And Jesus knows their hearts, and he calls them out on this. He knows their hearts, and he calls them out. And so it is, John chapter 6, verse 26 says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs," or that is to say miracles, "but because you ate your fill of the loaves." That is to say, you're not looking for transcendent things, you're looking for the short-term, immediate satisfaction of your flesh. You're looking for more bread. Or perhaps something better than that, meat. Now, if we were to pause, we could go back into the ancient days when the Hebrew people had been liberated from their bondage in Egypt and taken out into the wilderness places on their way to the promised land. And there they constantly complained about the food. "Lord, did you drag us out here to make us die in the desert?" And the Lord gave them bread from heaven, and he gave them meat through quail from the skies, and it was still never enough. So one wonders if this is part of the rhythm that these people also are displaying. Here's what Jesus does. He presses them. And I want you to hear this. Please listen to what Jesus says as he presses back on them. Now, verse 27, he says to them, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you," referring to himself there. "For on him, God the Father has set his seal." Now, what Jesus is doing here is he's saying to these people, he's saying, look, you need to reach for something that is true, that is good, that is real, that is beautiful, something deeper and better and more transcendent and more enduring than simply those things that would fill your stomach. And that's an opportunity for you and me as well. On what do you and I set our sights? Earthly, fleshly things, however important and good some of those are, or the still better things, the more enduring things, the things that last. You see, for all the cravings that you and I have in life, are not those things the better things? But do we really believe that? Do our lives demonstrate that? Do our thoughts reveal that? Do our hearts convey that? Do we really believe that Jesus gives us the better things? And for those of us who claim Jesus as Savior and Lord, do we believe him and what he has to offer beyond what even our greatest desires on earth could be? Do we believe such? Now, I want you to hear me here. I want you to hear that on the heels of the great rebellion in Genesis chapter 3, where we read of Adam and Eve raising their fists against the Most High God, declaring their own independence from him, going their own way from him, God moves toward them out of love and out of care, and he reveals for them the curse that they have brought upon themselves and upon all of time and space. And as he's doing so, there's a simple but profound statement that he makes in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. Here's what it is. He says to them, specifically to Adam, "By the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust shall you return." Now that's a haunting statement right there, is it not? Everything is toil now because of the fall, the rebellion. By sweat, we gain our bread. By sweat, we might see a desire fulfilled. But in the end, to dust we return, we still die, all is lost. Some of you are going to leave here today. Some will say, "How was the sermon?" "Oh, it was a downer. I heard that everything is toil and by sweat we get our bread and yet to dust we return and all is lost." But this is so. This is so. Hear me, friends. This is so. And so it is, we strive. And despite all of our greatest effort to realize our deepest desires and to experience their fulfillment, we find that at best, if realized at all, they're temporary, passing. I can't help but think of what Solomon writes in Psalm 127. Typical Solomon, a slight hint towards cynicism in his words. Verse 2, he says, "It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil." This is the raw reality of our existence. We long for something, and we let our imaginations range. We deeply desire even good and beautiful things, and we strive for them, and our brow is covered with sweat for the bread that we might gain. But in the end, even the best that we might take hold of crumbles. Now hear me, listen to me. This is exactly why Jesus declares something powerful of himself John chapter 6, verse 35, right there in that synagogue in Capernaum as he's talking with those who have come to corner him. He says to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And multiple times in this conversation, Jesus repeats this, I am the bread, I am the bread, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Over and over, he's telling the crowds, by the sweat of your brow, you're looking for bread. I am the bread you're looking for. I want you to hear that. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. You see, we strive for bread that is passing. He is the bread that satisfies. We spend our lives sweating to achieve, longing for something to satisfy, only to see it fall short time and again. And he satisfies us now and forevermore. Now don't miss the language there in verse 35. Jesus uses, I am. And with that phrase, he is employing something that all the Jews understood readily. Jesus was making a claim to deity. He is declaring himself to be God, because that is God language right there. That is the language that God responds to Moses with when Moses in Exodus chapter 3 says, God, tell me your name. And according to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, God responds with these words. He says to Moses, Moses, I am who I am. And then he went on to say, say to the people of Israel, I am has sent you. And so, for generations that follow, when the Hebrew people hear this language, I am, instantly they think of Yahweh, the great God of the universe, because in the Hebrew, the word I am literally is Yahweh. And so then, as we saw last weekend, when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, he is saying, I, God in the flesh, am resurrection and life. And here, when he says, I am the bread of life, he's making a claim that he alone satisfies. And the Jews understood this. The people in the crowds, they got this. As a matter of fact, in a different part of the book of John, John chapter 8, verse 58, we read these words. Jesus says to them, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And the crowds, it says here, they picked up stones to throw at him, to kill him. Why? Because they knew he was making a claim to be God Almighty in the flesh. Friends, I know there's this mythical notion out there, Jesus never claims to be God. Those people haven't read their Bibles. And because Jesus is the I am, as God, he satisfies every single need in your life and mine. Because he is God, he fulfills every longing in your life and mine. The greatest longings, the most transcendent longings, the deepest longings, the things that endure, the things that are beyond time and space. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is Psalm 62, verse 1. I love this translation of it. My soul finds rest in God alone. And that is what Jesus is offering right here. Himself, God alone who satisfies. Now listen to me, friends. Hear this. As God, Jesus is the better bread for which we do not sweat, but simply take and eat. As God, Jesus is the better bread who completely satisfies the deepest longings of our existence, completely fulfilling us with that which lasts, with that which is always good, always endures. As God, Jesus is the better bread who, reminding us of his broken body on a Roman cross, lived a sinless life, holy, and died there so all of us sinful and broken people could be made whole. And as such, sin and death and the devil and our unmet longings, however great they could be, and the sweat of our brow no longer has the final word. Those things are not the end of the story for us. Because this Jesus satisfies everything in our lives, giving us life beyond the curse. Giving us life beyond the curse. And so it is with him, all of our longings are ultimately met. So that even when the good earthly longings we have, the aspirations and imaginations which range, are not met or fulfilled, or if fulfilled, are taken away because of the circumstances of life in a broken world, he who reigns supreme never fails, never falters, always fulfills. He never lets us down. For now and always, and so it is, we read from the great Psalms these wonderful reminders of his power to answer the deepest cries and hungers of our being. Psalm 107, verse 9, he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Psalm 22, we read these words in verse 26. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise him, and your hearts live forever. Psalm 16, one of my favorite psalms in the Bible. Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Years and years ago, in the late 80s, I was in Morocco for some stretch of time. And my assignment every single morning was, when the sun was rising, to walk into the village to the bakery and to buy enough bread for me and for my friends so as to last the entire day. Every morning as the sun was rising, I can still smell the Atlas Mountain air as it collides with the Sahara Desert. I'm walking down the path, I can still see it turning left right into this bakery. And in some very rudimentary Arabic, talking to the baker and him loading up fresh, warm, aromatic, satisfying bread into a big basket that I hoisted on my shoulder and would walk back up the hill to our home. Every day, going to get the bread needed for that day. I think the Lord's Prayer helps us here. For in it, Jesus says, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. And what I do, honestly, is spend way too much time thinking about the material things that I need for my family, for our church, for our community and beyond. And not enough time imagining that maybe when Jesus said those words as a way for us to talk to our Father, what he was doing was saying, ask the Father to give yourself me every single day. Morning by morning, evening by evening, for I alone satisfy you. I might encourage you with this prayer. You can see much of it here on the screen in front of you. Let me just pray this over us right now. Oh, bread of life, my Lord Jesus, today give me your goodness. Your presence, your purposes, your power, your love. Satisfy me through and through. Yet again, today, Lord, I feast upon you. You, O God, you, Jesus, who are the air that I breathe. You, Jesus, who is our daily bread. You, Jesus. About whom I'd be lost if you weren't here. May I feast on you forevermore.